Well, if you'll please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter, I'm going to, what's listed in the bulletin, I'm actually going to cover the verses just before that passage and talk about loving one another. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. I wanted to cover those verses first, and before we go into what's in your bulletin, which is chapter 2. So here now, the reading of God's word from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord God, as we look into your word, as always, may we not interpret, understand this word in the flesh, but we pray your Holy Spirit would bring your word to life, that our eyes would open and we would see it with new eyes and see it in ways in relation to ourselves individually, in ways we've not seen it before, and understand our own selves and where we need to grow and change and repent and seek your grace. So I pray, Lord, that you would deeply bless the preaching of your word, and I seek your Holy Spirit's unction. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a huge topic spanning across the pages of Holy Scripture, revealing something that God is deeply concerned about, but which is something that's easy for us to miss. I mean, it really is. It's all over the Bible from beginning to end. Personally, I notice it especially in the New Testament. Can you guess what it is I have in mind? Well, probably not, because I'm not being very specific. But it's our character. It's godly, Christ-like character. You read of the figures in the Old Testament, and God is concerned about their character and growth. And you come to the New Testament, and there's explicit, direct exhortations regarding character. Godly, Christ-like, transformed character. You see, part of even what Peter is getting at is that, especially if you read the context, God has regenerated us. He has sent His Holy Spirit to dwell within us so that His Word can be used to bring about growth, positive change, not just in outward behavior, but inward character qualities, which then flow outwards into our words and behaviors and so forth. And so we begin to realize God really is concerned about our heart attitudes, character, both inward as well as how we think of and treat others. Think of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Consider them: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those aren't just merely robotic behaviors. They flow from a transformed, renewed spirit character within. You know, we can be a warrior for truth. And in our particular circles, we're especially prone to that. We can be a warrior for truth. We can be the top stellar performer at work. We can lead incredible Bible studies. We can spend 2 hours every morning studying and reading our Bibles and praying, but if we don't possess godly, humble, Christ-like, Spirit-transformed character, God is not impressed. He's not impressed. It's like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, the first three verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. You see, love is what we're focusing in on. Love is one of those premier, godly, humble, Christ-like character qualities that our Heavenly Father so values and desires to see us grow in and develop. Love. So with this in mind, let's turn to our passage for this morning. Next time when we enter chapter 2, we'll talk about growth. And this is one of the areas where we need to grow. That's why I wanted to do this first. So our passage, chapter 1 here in 1 Peter verses 22 to 25, where we encounter this beautiful command at the end of verse 22. Love one another from source, right? From a pure heart. So let's look at verse 22 and this beautiful, wonderful command to love. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for purpose, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That's what pleases God, you see. Now, Peter, like the rest of the authors of the Bible, Peter has a realistic grasp of the human condition. Peter understands so very, very well that because of sin infecting every part of our heart and our mind and our soul, that we are not natural lovers of our fellow human beings. Bring people together, even in proximity to one another. Bring people together, even just online, and all kinds of distrust and prejudices and character slanders and conflicts break out. All you have to do is look at the social media, and you see that. Even Christian social media, or your own extended family, or maybe your immediate family, relationships at work, or even within the church. And if you think that I might be naive in including relationships between Christians in this manner, take a peek ahead at chapter 2, verse 1, where Peter exhorts his readers, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander." You might think that's written to non-Christians. That's written to Christians in the church. And you go, "Really?" Yeah. Seriously, really. In other words, this should be a wake-up call, because it's describing problems within the body between Christians. It's describing relational problems within the church. That's how deeply sin infests the human heart and soul. In other words, Peter clearly understands that sin with which we're all born and conceived in, that natural proclivity towards self and pride and envy, all of those prejudices and misunderstandings and strife and conflict. Here in verse 22, we see that Peter understands that because of this broken condition of the human heart, you can't simply say to someone, "Just love." Just love. even from earnestly from pure heart. You can't simply say that to somebody. And so just before Peter issues this wonderful command to earnestly love one another, he first reminds them of an absolutely wondrous theological reality. He writes, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere love. In other words, the truth of God's word, the truth of the gospel purifies our hearts and our souls from our old sinful thoughts and ways. It's part of how we grow. God uses his word. I'm hoping, God willing, to expand on this topic. The truth of God's word is powerfully, wonderfully used by the Holy Spirit to bring about growth in godly character. That's why our services are saturated with God's word. You see, Peter is teaching that something is different in their lives. And part of that something different in their lives is that a purification of their sinful ways has occurred. And it has occurred because they've listened to the truth. They've obeyed it. And what is the truth that they have obeyed and which changes something in their life? Well, it's the truth of the gospel. It's the command to repent and believe. Turn from your sins and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 of Acts. Acts 2, verse 38, Peter commands, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. In other words, this purification of our souls, which is taking place, is because we've heard the call, Christ's call, to repent, to believe. We've obeyed the truth. This purification is that we are now set apart from a world which is in love with self and sin. We are now different from sin-pursuing, sin-loving, sin-embracing humanity and the ways in which the natural man, if I could use that phrase, treats one another and views one another. So with this in mind, listen carefully to how Peter words this first part of verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. That word for indicates purpose. We have been purified. We have been consecrated. We have been set apart to God for sincere brotherly love. That's what God values. That's what God wants to see in us. That's what God wants to see in the local church. For godly, Christ-like character in our relationships. Starting right here in our own body, extending out through the community and even our relationships with those. Nowadays, we have to include online, right? We have a whole new sphere of relating to one another. Transformed, humble, Christ-like character love. Isn't it absolutely glorious? The gospel's beautiful because it transforms us from selfish, distrusting, prejudiced, hateful people into lovers. It's beautiful. But again, loving others, and in fact, earnestly, note that word, earnestly loving one another, it's not easy. It can be hard, it can be difficult, and it can be made even harder in times of hardship because our natural reaction to trials is to turn inward and to be self-focused, focusing on our own struggles and difficulties. And when we turn inwards and become self-absorbed and overly focused on our woes, we're never good lovers. We're lousy lovers at those times. We're too caught up with ourselves and our misfortune. And the Holy Spirit essentially ends up being squelched. That's how we wrongly embrace our trials. And so in verse 22, not only does Peter offer encouragement by pointing out that we've been purified from from sin for a sincere brotherly love, but he also offers the additional encouragement that we can, that word can has to do with ability, we can love our brothers and sisters in Christ even while going through trials. That's the very context of Peter. He's writing to people in the midst of trials. We can love our brothers and sisters in Christ even while experiencing hardships by what he adds in verse 23, where he writes, since you have been born again. You see that? That's the difference. That's the key. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word. When we consider our natural condition of sin, which is the source of our inability to truly love, the fact that all who have obeyed the truth, all who believe upon Jesus Christ are born again, this biblical truth is incredibly good news that we've been born again. So consider our natural state into which we have been born in this world. Jesus and his words, John chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked deeds hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Right? And so here's part of the tragedy of the human condition. We love darkness. We don't want the light of the world, word to shine in and expose us. But the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaims deliverance from what really ails the human heart and soul at the deepest level. It proclaims deliverance from our sin, our love of evil deeds, our love of darkness, and all the misery that goes along with it. And to further grasp why being born again is such good news, consider what the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3, the first four verses. Paul writes, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." That is startling how that reveals the human condition, even right now, today, the world we live in. And this is not simply a description of sin. If you really think about it, it's a description of human misery. When we consider how bad and deep and entrenched human depravity really is, and how humanity can never seem, no matter what we try, can never seem to overcome its depravity, commands like Peter's command to love one another earnestly from a pure heart can almost seem like a bad joke. You look at the condition, you look at history and see the condition of the world and just the wars and strifes and prejudices and hatred and all of those things. And then Peter says, well, love one another. And it really can seem like just a bad joke because humanity, apart from the gospel, apart from Christ, never really changes, right? Never really grows. But you have to note carefully what Peter says, verses 22 to 23. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, God intervenes. And that's where the hope comes from. Since you have been born again through the living and abiding word of God, there's the hope. There's the light that we need. There's the supernatural power, the resurrection power of Christ that we need if we're even to begin to be able to truly, earnestly, from our hearts, love one another. So the love that is commanded here is not to be mechanical, merely outward. It's to flow from a heart that's been touched by the Holy Spirit. changed, brought to spiritual life. It's to be a genuine life. This kind of love then is only made possible by the supernatural resurrection power of our Savior. And it only comes through the new birth. Jesus was raised to newness of life, and the Holy Spirit raises us to newness of life. Furthermore, we have to understand about the fact that all who believe upon Jesus Christ have been born again. And I think I said this recently in a sermon. Being born again is not a second chance. A second chance, well, because we remain sinners, if you're given a second chance, you'll go back and you'll just sin again. You may sin in a different way and make everything a mess in a different way, but we don't need second chances, really. We have to start all over with a brand new heart, a resurrection heart, a brand new life. And so Paul tells us in Romans 6, verses 3 to 4, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death? That's what we need. We need to die to that stinking old self, don't we? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might also walk in newness of life. That's a new life. That's not a second chance. So just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so we too are raised from that state of spiritual death to a state of spiritual life. We're born again. We're regenerated. And so, because something supernatural has taken place in the life of all who believe upon Jesus Christ, because we have a new power working within us, and we have then a new ability to love, and thus Peter really can command us, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. There's power to be able to begin to change and do that and grow, change in character and grow in character. See, that's what's so glorious about the gospel. So let's now turn to the command to love itself. So I think we've covered how can we grow and be changed in character and begin to love. So now let's look at the command itself. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, repent and believe, okay, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. First thing to notice here is that our love of our brothers and sisters in Christ is to be sincere. A sincere love. That word sincere tells us it's to be a real thing, not something phony, that kind of a phony mask that we put on, acting like we love one another. It's to genuinely come from the heart. Think of the child whose mother tells them to apologize for something they did. And so she pushes the child towards their sibling, whom they're supposed to apologize to, and the child says, sorry. Right? And some of us have apologized, even as adults, maybe with nice sounding, I'm sorry, outwardly, but inside we're sorry, right? That's clearly communicating what's really going on in the heart. Their heart isn't in that apology, and it's really nothing. You know, it's really nothing. They're simply mechanically obeying mother. But when Peter here says that our souls have been purified for a sincere brotherly love, he's telling us something has happened. Again, something supernatural. There's a purification of our old self, our old sinful ways that has occurred. We're now different from sin-enslaved, sin-pursuing humanity and the resulting ways in which people throughout history have treated one another. We've been purified. We've been consecrated. We've been set apart unto God for a sincere brotherly love. In other words, the love of our brethren is to be a genuine from the heart, not a sorry. You know, it's to be a genuine from the heart, character transformed love. It's unfeigned. It's without any pretending. That's what we're to grow into. A As Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 9, let love be genuine, real, gospel transformed. Let love be sincere, real, genuine. Furthermore, Peter tells us in verse 22 that our love of our brothers and sisters in Christ is to be earnest. Love one another earnestly. It's not to be half-hearted, rather earnest, even intense. It's the idea of being an intense love. An earnest love is a love that we take seriously. It's a strong love, even a deep love, and that's reflective of a character that God is transforming, because it doesn't come naturally, truly to us. And then, as if that wasn't enough to describe the kind of love that we should have for our brethren, Peter also says this about this love that's to issue from a pure heart. I said it wrong. It is to issue. I didn't have the right inflections or whatever. This love is to issue from a pure heart. Have you ever noticed that when we want something from someone, even someone who we don't really like that much, how nice we are towards them? You want something and you treat them nice, even if you really don't like that person. We have an ulterior motive in those cases, don't we? But when Peter commands that we are to love one another earnestly from a pure heart, he's saying that we should love and serve one another without ulterior motives. Again, that's transformed, Holy Spirit transformed, resurrection power of Christ character. It's beautiful. And part of what this is saying from a pure heart is that we're to love others even when there's no advantage to myself. And that's really getting hard. That's really a test of love. To just give to another person when there's not even anything I'm going to get out of it. In fact, such love often comes at a cost to us. Just as Christ's love for us came at an incredible cost to himself. See, this kind of love, a sincere, earnest, pure love, can only come from a heart that has been born again, made new by the supernatural power of God. Character transformed, character growing, changing. So I don't want to give the impression that I'm saying, okay, now you're born again, now you're a Christian, now you love perfectly. You have a pure heart. No, part of the Christian life is a life of growth and change. It's dynamic. Christ declares in John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The watching world is looking at us, and they're observing whether we're really changed, whether the gospel really has power to change character, hearts. And one of the primary evidences of that is love within the body. Love within the body. So let's return to where we began. What is it in the scriptures that we find that God is so concerned about and that's so easy to miss? It's our character. It's godly, Christ-like, transformed, growing, changing character. God has regenerated us. God has sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us so that his word can bring about growth and change, positive change in character qualities. We're supposed to grow up into Christ. And when you read through the Gospels and you see Christ's character, well, no wonder people were so drawn to him. And no wonder for the last 2,000 years, Christ has been so incredibly admired. We're to grow up into godly, Christ-like character. And one of the premier areas where God desires to see this growth is growth in humble, Christ-like character. Transformed character. Love. So remember what our Savior commanded. there in John 13. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So again, how can a watching world know that we're a new creation in Jesus Christ? How can they know? Even, again, I'm having to add this nowadays, even online, one of the areas where they're watching us, where they're at work, in the neighborhood, whatever. How can a watching world see that we're really followers of Jesus Christ, that we're new creations? Well, it's by observing our actions. Whether we really have hearts that are changed and transformed, do we have self-serving hearts? Proud hearts, whatever it may be, or are our hearts being transformed to look more and more like Christ? Hearts that now love and serve and honor our brothers and sisters in the Lord, treating them with great respect. So having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly out of a pure heart. Let's pray. Lord God, again, make your word come alive to us. And I thank you and praise you for how much love there is in this particular body. But we can all grow. We can all improve. Make us more and more like Christ. May we really respond to the command, repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's something even for every day for the Christian to repent, own up our sin, repent of it, seek your strength, your power to repent of it, and grow. Thank you that you are a good God and a God who is characterized by love and goodness and mercy and grace and just good, so many incredible character qualities. Grow us to be more like your Son, Jesus. May we, in a watching world, see the transforming power of Christ at work in each one of us as individuals, even our children, and the oldest person here, and all of us in between. Bring glory to yourself by our transformed character. I pray all of this in Jesus' wonderful, glorious name. Amen and amen.